Well, if you turn with me, I do have some scriptures this morning, Philippians chapter 4. And I was just meditating this week. It's not like it's like sometimes you have a message, but there's another message kind of connected with it. And so if it sounds like I'm preaching two messages, I'm trying to marry them together so that we can understand that it's important not just to know what God said, but who He is. Because we can know what God said, because when we hear the Word of God, how many know faith comes, right? We can believe that. We can receive that as truth. But when we don't know who He is, it seems that faith has difficulty. It has the difficulty in receiving what God said. Is He really that good to me? Will He really help me? So the enemy comes and he brings some things to us that tries to devour us, doesn't he? He comes to devour, to steal that word away from us. And one of those things, and I'd mentioned that before when we looked at Mark 4, he comes with the cares of this life. He comes with deceitfulness to try to get us to run after riches, doesn't he? Try to get something ourselves. But in Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start at the fourth verse because I like that verse. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. That means all the time. When I don't feel like it. When my mind tells me you're not going to make it. When the enemy comes and it seems you can't remember anything. When you sought the Lord and you sought the Lord and you've been seeking Him and everything seems going great and one day you wake up. I don't know anything. Maybe am I saved, Lord? You know you are, but... You know you are, but sometimes you feel like I don't know anything. I remember I was here at the prayer center and I'd been praying about, I've been here maybe 3 or 4 months. And it just seemed like God took me and turned me up by my heels. You know, if you picked a child up, and I would demonstrate, but Joe's a little too large for me. So, but... You know, you see a child, you pick him up. It was like you picked him up, you know, and shook everything out of me. And then he set me back up on my feet, and I'm like, I don't know anything. I don't have anything. Because there's an emptying of ourselves so that we are able to receive from Him. And as we rejoice, like Paul said, always, I mean, he's in prison. Lord, he learned how to rejoice. And I'm learning how to rejoice always. Rejoice is not always just a, woo, you know, we're out here. But it's a joy that comes up from the inside that no man can take from you. One of the fruit of our human spirit is joy. He says, love, joy, right? Peace. Patience. These are the fruit of our spirit. But one of those is joy. And Paul's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I think he said it twice because sometimes it's not easy the first time. I mean, this is one verse. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I think Paul had to tell himself to rejoice. He was saying, you know, the psalmist said, be not cast down, O my soul. Put your hope in God. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, put your hope in God, not in your ability, not in my strength, not in what I can do, but in what God has done. Hallelujah. And so we begin to rejoice in the Lord. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's not far away. He's not up in heaven, per se. He's at hand. He's with you. He's right here. If we say something's at hand, you know, it's right there, isn't it? You can grab it. You can touch it. It's in you. God said the kingdom of God is in us. But he's at hand. He's with you, Paul's saying. And there's a rejoicing that he is with me. You got to think about this. Paul's in prison. He's in human dung. It stinks. It smells. The conditions are not perfect. He's saying, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. He's with you. You're a child of his. He's in you. He made you his own. Rejoice. Let your moderation, verse 5, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's with you. It says, be careful for nothing. Or don't worry, in other words, about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul is talking here about how cast your care. He said, if worry is your problem, it doesn't look like things are going your way, and you begin to rejoice in the Lord. Now, to me, he's kind of telling them, this is how you ought to pray. Begin to rejoice. God inhabits what? The praises of his people, doesn't he? He's at hand. He's there. He's with you. So be careful about nothing. Don't let care destroy you. Don't let your problem or what you think is against you stop you. Rejoice. Said, and again I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Well, but this situation, you just don't understand. It's more than I can bear. Well, yes, but it's not more than he can bear. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole point. He's at hand. Our mind is thinking on the Father, who he is. You see, a lot of times we don't receive because we're not believing who he is and who he said you are. And we take care. We start worrying about the situation. Lord, this is something. You gave me this ministry, Lord. You gave me this house. How am I going to pay for it now? You prayed, you sought God, and you did the right thing, or maybe you thought you did the right thing at least. You know, you're trusting in the Lord, and he directed your paths. And then something changed. You know, your job changed. Well, Lord, I thought you told me to take that job. It was going so great. and something went wrong, or the enemy came. He came to bring a care on you. Let's worry about it. But Paul says, let's pray about it. Let's talk to the Lord about it. Let's become thankful in our requests when we make them known to God. And be thankful. Seems to me Paul's saying a lot about being grateful, rejoicing, saying, hey, God's here. He's with me. He's at hand. I can trust Him. I can cast my care upon Him. I can know that He cares for me. And he says, this is the promise. He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, there's a promise that comes with rejoicing, with asking, with thanksgiving, with allowing yourself to remember and to think about God is at hand. God is faithful. And a lot of times, our problem is we believe God is faithful to Brother Gary. Because God loves Gary. You know, he's special. He just has that great faith. No. We just haven't learned to cast the care and to trust him for who he is. You see, a lot of times we know what he said and we believe that. We may even be saying that. But there's a fellowship with the Father in worship, in rejoicing, in thanksgiving to him that brings a presence where we know his love for us. And when we begin to understand that love for us, the care is gone, and it's not hard. Like Pastor Dave says, it's not hard to have the faith because we know who he is and we know he's in us. And if he is love, the Bible says, faith worketh by love. Yes, we need to walk in love, but we also need to know who God is. God is love. In other words, we could say faith worketh by God. He is love. That love that he has for you causes your faith to begin to move forward. Causes you to say, yes, that's what he said. He's not too good. I'm not too bad. He's too good to me. He'll do it again. He saved me. He rescued me. He set me free from sin. And this problem that I'm facing, this care, this dilemma, this relationship, is it too hard for him? This situation isn't too difficult. When I get my mind in the right place, when I get my rejoicing on him, regardless of what thoughts the enemy brings, regardless of what challenges he may throw your way, whether it's the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things, coming in to steal what? The truth that God has given you and what he said to you and about you and what you can have. You can have the abundant life. You can have the peace of God which passes all understanding. So that no matter what's going around us in this world, there's a peace that rises up from within because we've been rejoicing, because we've been giving thanks, because we let our request be made known to God. We know that he's getting ready to answer because we have a Father that is faithful. We have a Father that loves us. And sometimes we're not sure how he is. You see, faith is not just knowing what God said. That's one part of it. But if I've got a table here, if this is a table and I got a leg here, right, on one side of a shelf, and there's nothing on the other side, what's going to happen? If I try to stand it up, it's going to lean, isn't it? It's going to sit just like that. I'm not going to be able to set anything on that, am I? But if I find out, that's what faith, we know what God said. When we know who He is, we begin to level out and we begin to see all things are possible. All things become possible to us. We know that He's faithful. And the care is what makes us devourable. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any, what did he say? Praise. Think on these things. I think Paul is talking a little bit about rejoicing, thanksgiving, giving praise to God, thinking on what God has said, knowing that God is faithful. Because he said, I'm learning something. The whole purpose that Paul is sharing here, he said, I've learned. In the context, Paul's learning how to abound when he has little. And to be abased. He said, I've learned how to have little, how to be abased and how to abound, how to have abundance. And if I have a little bit or I have a lot, I can still do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm grateful for the gift that you have sent to me through Epaphroditus. I'm grateful for what you did for me. But I'm telling you, I know how to abound. And if you didn't give anything to me, I'm still going to abound because my Father is with me. He is at hand. And I know how to rejoice. And I know how to receive. And I know how to cast my care. And if you'll do these things too and think on the good things, there's going to be a peace that passes understanding. It's going to surround you. It's going to encompass you. And you will receive the things that you ask of Him. Because you've got a Father that loves you. And you have sown into my ministry that there may be souls to your account. And for that I rejoice. Because you had the same heart as I did. You wanted to see people born again. And I'm grateful to you. See, this is a letter of thanksgiving that Paul's writing to the Philippian people for the gift that they gave. He was so thankful to them that they stood with him. Not just one time, but you gave to me again. It refreshed my heart. It was a blessing to me. And I want you to know God sees it. And he's going to add the same reward to you for your gift. Because there's a thanksgiving and a praise that destroys the cares of this life. Because when we allow care to minister to us, we become devourable. The enemy can stop us. But when we allow praise and worship, and one of the things that Pastor Dave is really stressing right now, entering into that private time with him in worship, entering in a corporate setting in worship, begin at a heart of thanksgiving. See, the Bible says in the last days that people's hearts become, what, they become hard. They're unthankful and ungrateful. So that means we need to be more thankful and more grateful in this generation. It says in the last days people are, you know, if you look around, sometimes people are ungrateful. I mean, we have a great nation. We help the poor. And if you can't do anything or you can't work, we'll take care of you. And if you're really hungry, you can give 3 meals a day or 4. I mean, we're talking about homeless people that if they want to eat, there are 3 or 4 places they could go every day to get a warm and a good meal in this nation. Almost every city. Nearly every town. And I'm not saying that, you know, they say there's a lot of hungry children in America, but it's nowhere near most countries. Nowhere near most places. We're in the top 5% of the world, folks. And sometimes when we live there, we don't remember and realize. You know, you get to a place and it's just normal to us. Well, let's go by Quick Trip. We'll try that in Uganda. I've been to Uganda. Can we stop by Quick Trip and get something? No, we can't stop by Quick Trip. In about 3 hours from here, there's a little store and we can get a little snack maybe. Oh, okay. Thank you. You know, that, you know, so suffice to say, you're not going to be snacking, you know, on the journey. We'll have to load up now. So it's not, he's saying become thankful. Paul said, I've learned that. I've got souls for your account, Philippian folks. You know, most people, they don't mind being in the Philippian church. They don't want to be in the Galatia church. Well, we're not a Galatia church, you know, because he says, who's bewitched you? Who's tricked you? Didn't you start in the spirit? Now you're in the flesh. What's the matter with you? Trying to go back under the law? You know? But Paul's saying here, be thankful. He said, but I've learned in the Lord greatly. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Verse 10. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace, the second time, will be with you. He said, well, I need some peace in my life. I just don't seem to be able to get peace. I mean, I've tried and I've been confessing and I'm trying to believe. But there's a peace that passes understanding when you say, Father, I love you. Father, I believe you love me. And I receive your love for me. God wants to do things for you. We can believe that. But God wants to do things for you. See, for me? Yeah, for me. And sometimes we say, yeah, God loves the world. He gave Jesus. But God loves you. And when I receive that love, there's a peace that passes understanding, and there's a faith that rises up. Because faith worketh by love. Yes, we need to walk in love, but we also need to receive something, and it's a love. A Father loves us. When we receive that love, and we understand not just what He said, but who He is. The Bible says God is love. He cannot do anything else or be anything else. It says He's for you and not against us. That He's a giver and not a taker. He said, if you need wisdom, ask. I give liberally. I withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. First Peter 5, let's turn. Well, let me finish here a minute. He said, not that I speak, verse 11, in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Whatever state I'm in, he said, I've learned to be content. Another place Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. We can have a contentment with God. It doesn't mean we're content with where we are in our walk with Him. We want to continue to pursue Him. Continue in that walk. We want to continue to press in. But there's still a contentment with where I am right now, with what I have, with what He has given. And a contentment and a peace because I know with what He will do. What He has done, and I'm going to pursue Him until I receive everything that He has already done for me. If I'm sick, I know I'm healed because He provided that for me. And because I know, because of my rejoicing, because of my praise, because I changed my thinking of who He is, and I've thought on the good thing, the thing that He's promised me, then that's what I'm going to receive. See, a lot of times, you know, we want to say, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. No, I'm healed. I'm calling that which is not as though it were. It's not concentrating on sickness, go. You know, we want to say, oh, get out of here. Yes, we can rebuke the devil, but God said to think on what he has done, what he's already accomplished, that battle's been won. That we don't stand alone anymore because God is at hand. He's with us and we're moving forward to possess a promised land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, where no man can take what God gives unto you. It's a place in his love where he sits, where he takes you. And he says, I love you. And no one can steal that place from you. No man, no person, no circumstances will be able to stop you when you begin to understand who he is. I know what he said, but who is he? He's a father that loves me. When I cast my care on him, he's going to care for me. Because his care is greater than mine. He cares more than I care about others, more than I care about myself sometimes. He wants it for me more than I am willing to receive it. And sometimes we know that with the mind, but there's a place in him where we experience the love of the Father that sets us free from ourselves and our own earthly thinking and the thinking that is so daily around us. That the world tries to project into your thoughts and your mind and your eyes, and everything I see around me begins to change because I see who he is. What he said becomes so real because I know who he is. It is impossible that God would lie. And that reality is on the inside because my Father He has embalmed me with his love. He has lifted me above. All those circumstances are now below because I see that I'm seated with him. Far over all the work of the enemy. Way up there above. But it seems like right now I'm below. Is there a way I can move from here to up here? Paul said, begin with a rejoice. Begin with thanksgiving to God. Let that request be made known. And begin to pray. Not just in your own selves, but Jude 20 says what? But you, beloved. We knew we'd get there, didn't we? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Where are you going to build yourself up? Verse 19 says, these are they which are sense ruled, they're ruled by what they see, what's going on around them, by the cares of this life, by the deceitfulness of riches. They're ruled by what everything around that we can see. But you, beloved, are building yourself up above those things where you're seated with God in heavenly places far above. And you're looking down. And you're saying, hey, now I see, Father, your great love. I see that love that has come to make me free. When I cast my care, I receive victory. I receive those things that I've asked of you. When I refuse to worry, I refuse to fear. See, worry is just another word for fear, really. It's just a fear. It's not really real. You're thinking about something that hadn't happened yet. Hadn't even happened. It's faith in reverse. It's going to happen because I keep thinking about it. And then all of a sudden it does happen because you just almost made it happen. You ever see anybody like that? You know, they're so concerned and, oh, everything's going down. And, you know, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but that's hitting this faith just like you got, right? No. Like we see sometimes. You know. But care can devour us. 1 Peter 5. I've got a second scripture today. It's good when I get more than one scripture. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Did good. It was in there all along, lo and behold. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5. Well, I'm just going to start at verse 1. Bless God. Praise the Lord. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." How many is partaker of that glory? Hallelujah. You are. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, but John 17, didn't he? He said, "The glory that was in me," Jesus said, "will be in you." The same glory. Not a different glory, the same glory. Hallelujah. Anyway, that's another message. "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another." So it's not just submitting to Pastor Dave or whoever the chief elder is, but it says also to one another. And sometimes I think we forget that. You know, we submit one to another. If the anointing comes on you, I submit to that. You know, when I go home, I let my wife be in charge of the kitchen. I submit to that. I like to submit to that, you know. You know, but Pastor Dave, you know, when I come to church, Pastor Dave's here. We submit to the anointing that's on his ministry. This is the ministry God gave them, and the way it is done here. If I go over to another church, I submit to that. I don't usurp authority. No, we submit one to another. If they say, "Hey, Pastor Dave, come and minister." Well, he comes and ministers. But he doesn't go over there and take over and start telling them how to run the church. You know? I don't know why I got off on all that, but it's true anyway. We submit one to another also in the body of Christ. You know, when we're talking, I've had bad habits at times interrupting people. I said, "Lord, I'm not listening very good. I better start working on listening. I've got 2 ears and 1 mouth, and I already know what I know. So listen." You know, you think you know what that person's going to say, and you don't. I don't know why I got off on that, but I did anyway. It says, "Likewise," hallelujah, glory. But we do submit. I mean, it says that over in Ephesians also. You know, love your wives. It says submit one to another. You know, I submit to my wife sometimes. She submits to me. We are one. It's not a rule over her situation. "Well, you did what I said, you disobedient woman. Do what I say." You know, you're getting ready to be kicked out. You know, or she's going to leave, you know. And then we wonder, "Well, I don't know what happened. I tried to walk in love with her. She just wouldn't do what the Bible says." Now, I don't know why I got on that either. But anyway, it was good. Because sometimes you see people do that, or you hear certain things, and you realize the problem, but if we don't learn to submit to God, we're not going to listen to what He says, and we're not going to rejoice, and we're not going to be thankful, because we're not going to receive what we ask for. You're just not. Because your heart is in a place that's saying, "I'm not," you know, we're not really walking in a love with the Father. We're not realizing He loves us. And that love, when we realize He loves us, we're going to love our husband or wife. And we're going to get there in just a minute. But anyway, I think I'm going to go to that scripture here in a minute. But we do submit to each other. I don't know why I'm getting off on that, but we submit one to another, you know. He brought Adam and Eve, you know, he brought my wife to walk with me. You know, I think sometimes in marriage, you know, the husband thinks he's got his wife all set, you know. It's all wrapped up, you know. I got to wrap her my feet, you know, and the wife, she thinks she's got him all wrapped up, see. And it works out great, you know. I finally got him trained, you know, and he thinks he's got her trained. And really, you know, it's just a oneness that God brings. Hallelujah. And so when we are with him, there's that oneness too. But we're to submit one to another. It's not a lording over anybody. And that's the whole purpose that Paul's saying here. And that's why I shared that, because we can see that in a relationship. You know, we've seen people do that. You know, husband or wife lord something over them. Hallelujah. But there's a love that God brings. Hallelujah. It sets us free to know that he's faithful. To know that he'll do what he promised. Does something in our faith. When his presence comes, we know God is with us. We know he is for us. That my Father loves me. There's nothing he's going to withhold from me. So when I ask and I come to him, he's going to respond to me when I approach him. He's going to give yes and amen, because this is his promise. I have his promise, but also realize who he is. He's my Father. He is faithful. He can be trusted. He will not lie. And I can cast that care. Hallelujah. Verse 5, likewise the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now in submitting, there's a humility. Amen. When we submit to God, we've got to humble ourselves. Realize God's bigger than me. And sometimes we submit to people that, you know, are not, we don't think in the natural, we look at them and think, well, they're not worthy to be submitted to. That's not what he said. Humble yourself. With all humility. And sometimes I think we've lost the art of learning a humility before God and a humility before one another. I'm not talking about being walked over. But you know, if I know more than somebody else, you know you're doing the right thing. You know, and you're at a job and your boss is telling you you're doing wrong, but you know you're doing right. You know, it's a humility to submit myself to whatever he says. Even though I may not agree, and it may not even be true. But God sent me there, so I keep working there. The Bible says we're faithful even when men are unreasonable, even when they are harsh toward you, or rulers over you, even if they're telling you you're doing wrong, and you know you're doing a good job. And you know you're doing right. You're doing it unto the Lord. You keep working. There's a humility that we've got to take upon ourselves. Say, okay, you know, hey, you know. I don't have to be anybody. See, that's humility. I don't have to be somebody. I don't have to be noticed. I don't have to be exalted for my great knowledge and how awesome I am. I know I am awesome because God's in me. I'm not awesome of myself. Where did it come from? That's a humility. It came from my Father. It was a gift that he gave. It came by grace through faith. I said that on purpose. Because I realized that, see, it's not just by grace that you're saved. It's all done by grace, and it's all available by grace, but it's through faith. You have to receive it. You have to believe it. If it was by grace, we wouldn't have to worry about witnessing anybody. We'd all go to heaven right now. Why wouldn't we? Oh, it's already been provided. Don't worry about it. Anybody can go to heaven. No, not anybody can go to heaven. Those that believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, he rose again 3 days later, that he's coming again. Those are the ones that are going to heaven that believe in the blood shed of Jesus alone. Through that blood alone, yes, I am born again, but it's through faith in that blood. The apostle said, how was this man made whole? Through faith in that name. It was not just by grace, but faith in that grace. Hallelujah. We need to remember it. The reason I say that, it's so important, because people just throw grace around like I could do anything. No, you don't just get anything either. You believe what he said and you receive it. And I'm expecting and I'm showing us this morning, how does that expectancy come? How does that faith grow? It works in certain ways. And yes, it works by words, but it also works by love. There's a love that the Father gives us, and there's a love that we walk in. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm going to get all the way there, but we're moving along. But humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 6, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. So why am I carrying the care? He cares for me. The Bible says he knows what we need before we ask. Have you ever got anything before you asked for it? Or right when you did? So, man, it had to be on the way. I mean, I came in the mail today. I mean, I just asked for it. You know, he knows what you need before you ask. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying, and there are times, I know, we ask and we have to be patient, right? Because love is patient. Well, everybody says, well, I got the patience of Job. I beat that. I topped that one. I got the patience of God. Hallelujah. Wow, now, brother, you're bragging now. No, I'm not. The greater one lives in me. God lives in me. His nature's in me. That nature has the patience of God in it. So, well, that means I can wait it out. I can outwait the devil. He don't have any nature to know God. He believes, says the Bible, says the devil believes. How come he don't get anything from God? He's got faith. He knows that God's real. He believes, and he's afraid of God. But we believe, and we receive from him, casting the whole of our care upon him, because he cares for us. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, not your neighbor, not your husband or wife, not your boss, says the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Says the devil. Now, he might use a person. I'm not saying he wouldn't. But that person is not your problem. Your husband or wife is not your problem. Your kids are not your problem. Your boss is not your problem. The devil's your problem. And how he's bringing those thoughts is your problem. I got to cast that care, Lord. The care is what's causing him to be able to destroy me. Yeah, but they're talking about me. Well, grow up. You're not 16, you know. That's what teenagers, you know. Oh, she's talking about me, you know, and they're all emotional and they're talking about, you know. Well, they're not talking about you probably anyway. But sometimes people feel that way because the devil lies. He's the problem. They're believing his lies. It says, whom resist? Well, we humbled ourselves that God may exalt us in due time. We cast our care. Now we're going to be sober and vigilant. We're going to be looking around. We're looking for him. Because the devil, the adversary, he's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Now see, that goes right along with James. It says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. When we humble, and right after that he says, humble yourself. You know, God gives more grace, verse 8 in James, God gives more grace to the humble. We want to receive grace, but we have to humble ourselves to receive a grace to walk where we hadn't walked before. If you're having a difficult situation, Father, I humble myself before you. I receive the grace that I need to walk through. Because I know that's your empowerment, your strength for my weakness in this area of my life. So Lord, I thank you and I worship you. I praise you that it's your grace that gets me through. It's your empowerment that takes me from where I am to where I'm going to go. So I can cast my care. So that I'm not devoured by the devil. What's he trying to devour in our lives? Primarily the Word of God. What God said. That's what he told Eve. Has God said? That's what he told Adam too. Because she went to him, well, see, I didn't die, I eat, you know. Oh, okay. You know. We blame Eve, but Adam's just responsible. He's responsible. He's supposed to be guarding that garden. Hallelujah. Said, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm going to want to be established, strengthened, and settled in God. You talk about a stronghold. Hallelujah. That's a stronghold of God. See, there's strongholds of the enemy that he tries to bring, but there's a stronghold that we can receive in God. That care that we can cast, and we can receive our answers because we know that he is at hand. We know that he is in us. He is with us, and his grace is empowering us to always to receive those things. Hallelujah. It's empowering us to change the weaknesses that are within us. That's what it is, really. That grace, like Dave says, remember he had all the grace lines. Lord, okay, you know, really we're repenting. Lord, forgive me for acting a fool. And I need that grace, that empowerment to not act that way anymore. To not act ugly anymore, Lord. You know, not to be rude or unkind. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to finish there. I am going to get there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a third scripture today. That's good. Hallelujah. Actually, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. I have it printed out here, so couldn't find my Amplified Bible. I don't know if my wife took it with her or what, but I've got it printed out right here. So, but 1 Corinthians 13. This changed my life when my wife and I were married about 5 years, and we get along pretty good, but sometimes I'd get a little upset with her, and she gets a little upset with me, and we'd have well, just discussions, you know. They usually ended in me saying, shut up and leave me alone. You know? No, or vice versa, you know. But, you know, and it's never about what you're never arguing about anything that's important. You know, well, what are we arguing about anyway? You can't even remember. But it was something that you're thinking about, see. Something little. You know, the enemy wants to continually come, Diablo. Drop by drop, little by little, to try to cause that care, that worry, that anxiety, that fear to continue in you. But perfect love casts that out. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Boy, if we just got right there, hallelujah, believe in the best, amen. Just believe in the best of them, glory. Well, I don't believe, are you sure they'd do something, you know, you hear something? Oh, I don't believe that. I don't think they'd do that. I believe they're better than that. Hallelujah. And most of the time, it's not true anyway. People gossip and say things that aren't so. But hallelujah. I don't know why I stopped there, but I said it anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Believes the best of every person. His hopes are fadeless. Fadeless hopes. That means an expectation. You're expecting something under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. And we could say God never fails. God's always hoping in you. You see, if we can see that God is love, that's what He is to you. Say, well, I think I'm wearing God out. It says, God endures long and is patient and kind. That's who He is. That's who He is. You're not going to wear Him out. Keep coming. It says, love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. God's a jealous God. He wants you. You know? He's jealous for you, not against you. God's not boastful or vainglorious. He doesn't display Himself haughtily, does He? He waits patiently. Come and drink. I'll give to you. Come. He lets you decide. But that's how God is. He doesn't insist on His own rights. You doing it His way? He doesn't insist. He has a way. He said, you can do it this way or you cannot. It's your choice. He leaves you open. He sets you free. There's one thing about freedom. We've got to take the responsibility. Say, okay, Lord, you made the way, I'll do it. You do it His way. He's going to be faithful. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to take you halfway and drop you off. He didn't bring you this far not to take you in. Amen. But you see, when we realize that we can ask of Him, that He's going to answer. We can cast that care on Him. We can trust Him that He cares for us, and our faith will begin to rise because we see not only what He said, but who He is. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.